and focusing in on Naomi in this story, we will see how her story beautifully illustrates for all of us the hope of our redemption. So it's not just the story of one mother, it is the story of hope, of redemption, not just for her, but the hope of redemption for all of us.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, again, we do want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. And of course, no Mother's Day is complete without a little humor as well. I know there's some powerful, moving things to reflect on, but we also need a little humor, don't we? And of course, one of my favorite sources of humor are the things that children say. Have you ever heard a child say something rather interesting, amusing? And sometimes there's a lot of truth in it, though, too, isn't there? But these are some second-grade children were asked some questions about mothers. About this verse, so why did God make mothers? And one second grader said, well, it was to help us out when we were being born. Is that one? Other one was asked, why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? And the top answers were, we're related. And the other is, well, God knows that she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. And I bet that kid is absolutely right, isn't he, on that? And you know it's a he, don't you? So, question, why did your mom, this is my favorite one, by the way, why did your mom marry your dad? And the top answer there, my grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on. What does your mom do in her spare time? The top answer, mothers don't do spare time. And finally then, what would it take to make your mom perfect? And the top answer, well, on the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. So, probably shouldn't have ended with that one, should I? So, no, but Mother's Day, it is a good day for us to celebrate, to think back, reflect, to honor our moms. But I know, though, too, that it can be a difficult day as well, a rough day for some of us, too. But I pray that whatever your situation here in this, you will hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you this morning. For today, we want to take a look here at this story from the book of Ruth. We're going to be focusing in on the woman Naomi in this story and her journey from bitter emptiness to joyful fulfillment. We'll go through and look at the basic outline of the story of the book of Ruth. And in it all, see this, that in this story, and focusing in on Naomi in this story, we will see how her story beautifully illustrates for all of us the hope of our redemption. So it's not just the story of one mother, it is the story of hope, of redemption, not just for her, but the hope of redemption for all of us. For all of us here, for all people who need, anybody needs some hope here? Is it just me? Am I the only one? I think we all need some hope here, and this story beautifully illustrates that hope that we do have. So the story of Ruth and Naomi. Now we say, now, who's the focus of the book of Ruth? The book of Ruth is about whom? Ruth, right? What would you do if I told you, well, not really. Obviously, Ruth is a central figure in that book, and the book is named after her. But would you be surprised if I said, actually, and I believe when you see this story, the real focus here is on Naomi and redemption, right? The real story is on redemption, the hope of redemption for all of us. But among the characters in the book, yes, Ruth is a central character. The book is named after her. But if you see the beginning, where the story starts and how it ends, it's about Naomi. About a journey from bitter emptiness to a place of joyful fulfillment. So that's where the focus is, actually, is on Naomi, on God's provision for her. And yes, ultimately then how we see in this story another step in the chain leading to the birth of our Redeemer, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this story here then, we see that here is Naomi living with her husband Elimelech and their two sons in the land of Israel in the town of Bethlehem. It was set during the time of the Judges. And if you remember, when we've looked at the story of Israel and the time period of the Judges, we know that this was a rough time in the land of Israel. Why? Why was it rough in the land of Israel at that time? Because, to summarize it, as the book says, everyone was just going about doing what was right in their own eyes. Remember that? There wasn't a lot of effective leadership, spiritual leadership in the land. And so the people were just given over to doing whatever they wanted. Never mind what God says. There wasn't strong leadership to guide them, direct them. Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. Does that sound like any nation that you know today? Everyone says, well, I think this. Well, I feel for me this is truth, or this is good, or this is right. So everyone was just doing whatever they wanted. In the process of, in the book of Judges, we see how then God would bring deliverers to them. They would repent, and he would bring a leader to them. But in time, eventually what? They would go back to their ways, were just doing whatever they wanted. And so this was during one of those times there was famine in the land of Israel. And I would say, yes, it was the judgment of God on that land, no doubt. But here is then Naomi and her husband and their two sons. So there's famine, and so they decide to leave the land of Israel, the town of Bethlehem, and they travel south and east a ways to the land of Moab. Now, you know it's pretty rough because Moab was not exactly a friendly nation to Israel, but they were desperate. So they go to the land of Moab. And while they are in the land, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died. So she'd been there not too long, and her husband dies. Her two sons then, when they left, they were not married yet, but now that they were living in Moab, they married Moabite women. And there they stayed about 10 years. So again, this was not an ideal situation for Naomi, but there she was. She had a place to live, she had a roof over her head, she had provision for her, and now her two sons have married these women, Moabite women. But then, for whatever reason, then something happened, and both of her sons died. So now here is this woman, Naomi, where she had lived, her homeland, there was a famine, she'd left there. Now she's in a foreign land, a land that was hostile, actually, to her people, to her nation. Her husband has died. Now her sons, who'd married Moabite women, have died. And now there she is all alone. She is a widow with no adult children to care for her. Now, if you put her then in her historical context and her time, to be a widow with no adult children to care for you and no other relatives around, this is not a good situation for Naomi to be in. Her life has taken a dramatic turn from what it was before to where she finds herself now. Can anybody relate to that? Your life was here one day, and then through a series of events, you wake up another day and you realize, wow, your life, your circumstances have really changed. And you would say, not for the better. So this was Naomi's situation. So Naomi decides that she's going to return to her homeland, to Israel. The famine has passed. And so she's going to return home, back to her home in Bethlehem. And she tells her two daughters-in-law, her sons have died, so their husbands have died. She tells them to stay there and find new husbands and wishes the best for them there. And one of them does that, but the other daughter-in-law, Ruth, she insists on returning with Naomi. And that, of course, is when we see those famous words, probably the best known verse in this book, where Ruth insists then, she says, no. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, she says, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you.'" What a powerful statement of love and devotion, isn't that? And so Ruth comes along then with Naomi. Come then to the story here, picking up at verse 19 in chapter 1. Says, "So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' And she said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?' And so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." So first here with Naomi and the story of Naomi, we see this bitter emptiness. It is bitter because of the circumstances that Naomi has been thrust into. But it's also a bitter emptiness because of Naomi's heart now. Her heart is embittered. It is a bitter emptiness. And she says, "Don't call me Naomi." You know, names have meanings. And the word Naomi means pleasant. And that was symbolic of the life then too that she had. She had a wonderful life, a pleasant life. And now she says, "Call me Mara." Mara means bitter. Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter. And why does she want to be called bitter? Why? Because where's the problem come from? Who's done all this? She says, what? God. She's angry with God. Anybody been there? She's angry with God. She doesn't say, "Well, you know, these things happened and life isn't so good now, but here I am now." She says, "My life, I don't want to hear it. Don't even call me Naomi. My life is bitter and it's empty and God has done all of this." She's in a bad place. But I'm glad to know, I've certainly experienced in my life, God understands our feelings. And he's patient with us. And he's gracious and generous. But she says, "God has become, my life is bitter and empty. God has treated me bitterly. God has brought calamity upon me." What a joyful, uplifting Mother's Day message, isn't this? Well, we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. By the way, I had kind of joked a little bit with some of the members of the worship team when we were putting together the series of messages. You know, we've been preaching through Job, and I had joked about, well, maybe on Mother's Day I'd preach on Job's wife. But I decided, you know, maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe that's not a good idea. But then I thought, but you know, there's a concept, though, in there that I think is good. And the story of Naomi ties in with some of the themes in the book of Job, doesn't it? Where here is a person who had this, Naomi, this great life, and now this calamity has struck, and she's bitter and she's angry with God. Does this sound familiar? But Naomi doesn't know or realize everything God is doing, just as Job and Job's wife didn't realize what was happening and what he was going to do. and the bigger picture of it all. So now here's Naomi. She's back home. And now God is going to begin to work in her life to bring refuge and hope. Refuge and hope. So now they are, and Naomi tells Ruth to go and glean in the fields of Boaz. So see, Boaz was a relative of Naomi's husband Elimelech. And he had fields in the area, barley fields. And Naomi says to her, go and glean. Now, what is this gleaning? Well, it was a custom. It was in the law of Moses, where as the harvesters would go through the field, they would make their pass through to harvest, but they would inevitably, they'd miss a little bit here and there. And they were told, the law said, don't go back to get what you missed. That was a provision that was made for the poor and the needy, that after the harvesters had come through, the poor could come in and they could collect what was missed. It was gleaning, is going and getting what was missed. So she says, go and do this. Go and get that. Go to our relative Boaz. So Ruth does that, and she's going, and she's gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And she catches Boaz's eye. This brings us then to the next step in the story, where it says, then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. And then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. And so now we've gone from bitter emptiness to refuge, a place of refuge from the storm that they had been through. So here's Ruth gleaning in Boaz's fields, and she catches Boaz's eye. And Boaz then extends protection to her and provision for her, and not only for her, but also for Naomi. And so through this, Naomi's bitter emptiness, she's now finding refuge, and this provision isn't simply for Ruth, it's for Naomi as well, for the whole household. And then there also is another tradition that we need to understand, a custom, part of the law. It's called the kinsman redeemer. As you know, in those times, to be a widowed woman was not exactly a place of, if you will, great hope and security in that society, in that culture. You were in trouble then. And so there was a provision in the law that said this, that if there was a woman's husband were to die and she had no adult children to care for her, that a relative, the nearest relative, would have the first opportunity to redeem her, that is, to buy her back, to buy her out of her desperate situation and bring her into his home, where he would marry her and then continue, would have children for the husband who's died through her. That line would continue through that, and there would be provision for her. It was called the kinsman redeemer. So now Naomi knows this. She sees Boaz and how there is provision and protection for her, for them, in his household. And when she then advises Ruth to take a bold move, she knows about this, and Naomi says, you know, at the end of the day, when the threshing is, they would harvest the barley, they would thresh it, they would take this, they would throw it up into the air, and the chaff and that would all blow away, and then the good stuff would fall down. The grain would fall down, and they would have. And so there was a house, a place where this would be done, and it was called the threshing floor where this is done. And she says, Naomi says to Ruth, go there this evening, you know, at the end of the day there, and when it is night, just lie down at his feet, which is a way of, and they're called, it, to us it sounds like a strange thing, what she's doing. But in a way, what Ruth is saying through this is she's making herself available to him. And by that, I don't take that the wrong way. But she's saying, I'm available to marry. If you want to redeem me, I am available to do that. So here's what happens then. So it says, so she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. And he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. So now we've seen how we've gone from a place of bitter emptiness to a place of refuge, and now as redemption begins to draw near. It is Boaz's desire to redeem Ruth. He wants to take her as his wife. But the law says that it has to go in the order of the closeness of relatives, and there is a relative who is closer than him. And this person would be first. So what did the Redeemer do? Well, the Redeemer provides for, the Redeemer protects, and the Redeemer brings stability and blessing. So, but there is this other relative who's closer. Therefore, first in line to redeem her. But if the other's not willing, Boaz will do so. Now, if you know the story of Ruth, you know what happens from there. Boaz goes into the place. He meets with this other redeemer who's closer. And God sovereignly engineers it so that he doesn't do that. Of course, Boaz says some things to help bolster his case a little bit and make it happen. But it does happen, then he declines, and so Boaz says that he will redeem Ruth. And so we see then in chapter 4, starting in verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. And then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. So here we see joyful fulfillment. So is the book of Ruth about Ruth? Well, sure, she's a major character, but where does the story begin? And where does the story end? It's with Naomi and her journey, isn't it? Her journey from a place of bitter emptiness to a place finally of joyful fulfillment. And how, as Ruth was taken by Boaz to be his wife, as he redeemed her, he was not only redeeming her, he redeemed Naomi through that as well, and brought provision and protection, security and blessing for Naomi through this. But this story of a redeemer isn't simply about Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. We're given another little piece of information, and by the way, that's not there by accident. It says this son, and they had a, and Ruth had a son, the end, right? No. There's significance in who this child was. Who was this child? This child would become, would grow up. He would have a son named Jesse. Jesse would have a son named David, King David. So Ruth then was what? The great-grandmother of King David, right? And of course, the story doesn't end there, though, does it? This whole story of a line of redeemer, because who came through the line of David? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is our kinsman redeemer. So that's the story of Ruth and Naomi. And well, okay, well, that's a great story. What does it have to do with me here today? Well, I think that key is in what we see at the end of the story here, in which the story of Naomi beautifully illustrates the hope of our own redemption. Naomi was in a place of bitter emptiness. She was even angry with God. I think many of us have felt that. We've been there. We've struggled with some of that. But then in time, we saw what how God offered out hope to her. A redeemer came into her life. That redeemer took where before there was trouble, there was despair, there was hopelessness. God held out a redeemer who brought hope, who brought security, who brought provision to her. And what a beautiful picture then of our own situation, isn't it? Some of us have felt that bitter emptiness. But God holds out the hope of a redeemer. Hope, security, provision. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is what? It is hope for eternity. It is eternal hope. It is eternal provision. It is eternal security, received through the blessing of our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, yes, Mother's Day is a day we celebrate, we honor our moms, and here we see an amazing story of one particular woman, a mom, and how God worked in her life to bring her from a place of hopelessness even, of bitter despair, to bring refuge and hope and finally redemption. And what a story then of hope then for all of us, how he can take us from a place of emptiness to a place of joyful fulfillment in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would conclude by simply asking this question: are you holding on to the hope of redemption? Do you have that hope in Jesus Christ, who has delivered us from bitter emptiness and brings joyful fulfillment, security, provision, eternal security, eternal provision, eternal blessing through our Redeemer, Jesus? That is our hope. Whatever we're facing, whatever you're facing today, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this hope that we have of our kinsman Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you have not left us alone in emptiness. Some of us have felt the pain of calamity. But you hold out hope to us in our kinsman redeemer. Lord, he's our kinsman. He is a brother to us. He is the Son of God. Jesus, he is God, but he is one of us too. He is human. He is our brother, born in through the line of David. Through our faith in him, Lord, we have found eternal security, eternal provision. Lord, may that hope then sustain us through some of the dark times, some of the times when we have felt bitter and empty. We know that in Jesus is all true fulfillment. In him is joy. And so, Lord, we thank you in his name. Amen.